Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but we'll warn you. You'll have to pry it from our cold, dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it. One shot at a time.
Attorney Penny Dean continues here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse with Second Amendment Tuesdays. And as we were talking about the Stephen Spader case and the home invasion case, which has a lot of people concerned about such a type of scenario playing out in their home, as well as this other case of Penny explaining out of Bristol from a few years ago, 2006, where a home was invaded by a SWAT team. And you're laying there in bed. You're saying, oh, gee, I don't know if these are cops or not.
And that's exactly it. Now, just so you know, this case was just decided by the court July of this year.
Okay.
And it's ongoing. So this is, it happened.
The case being a civil rights lawsuit, right?
The civil rights lawsuit, absolutely. And so that's exactly right. And here's what I tell people. If you make your home secure as possible, what I hope would happen is that the police would call in and say, look, why don't you guys cooperate? We got a search warrant. And if you have a search warrant, you cooperate. They give you a copy of the search warrant, which is what they're required to do. They hand you a copy. You get an opportunity to read it. They are allowed to do what's called a quote-unquote protective sweep to make sure there's no people hiding to jump out at them with matches or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows them. But what you do, what I tell people to do, the minute you get a search warrant in your hand, the very first thing you should do, you should be on the phone to your attorney and reading that attorney the search warrant. Because, for example, if they have a search warrant to search for elephants at your house, they're not allowed to open your refrigerator because there wouldn't be an elephant in your refrigerator, right?
Right.
By the same token, if they're searching for diamond earrings, they could probably open darn near anything in your house because diamond earrings are very small and can hide anywhere,
sure,
if you will. And so I tell people that if you think that it's really the police, again, your lawyer will make all the objections, even if they're smashing your stove, which they shouldn't do, or destroying your favorite dresser. The unfortunate thing is you can verbally say, please don't do that, but you cannot physically resist them, and you have to save all of your objections for the courtroom. Because what will happen is if you physically go over and try to stop them, let's say, from smashing open your favorite dresser, they're going to charge you with several charges of interfering in the execution of a search warrant, but they're also probably going to physically remove you from the place, which means you can't see what's going on.
Right.
And the most important thing that I tell people is you want to see what's going on. So if you are the type of person who happens to have cameras, like some people have nanny cams in their house.
Oh, yeah.
Right? If you have nanny cams in their house, you can catch that. But I would not tell them that they're being recorded. If you have the proper signs outside your house putting people on notice, they're being audio and video recorded, I would not tell them because I wouldn't want
to. Do you have to have a notice for video recording without audio?
You do.
Really?
It's arguable, but here's what I tell people. Is you never want to be the test case, right?
Okay.
So I tell people that I have signs that glow in the dark so you can be seen at night. Because think about this. If you have a sign, think about the arguable response. If someone comes to your house at night and it's dark, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have glow in the dark signs in the window, how would that person reasonably know they're being audio and video recorded?
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
And so, therefore, if you have glow in the dark signs, no reasonable person can ever charge you with violating the law because you've given any person notice, night or day, that they're being audio and video recorded on your property.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Sure.
And so it's the same thing. And if you have those signs on all the entrances and all the windows, they have to reasonably presume if they walk in your house, they're being audio and video recorded, correct?
Correct.
And I always tell people, I would have that recording stored off-site or in another place because you don't want anybody to accidentally unplug those things while they're there, do you?
Not at all.
Yeah, you don't want any of those silly things to happen. And so you look at, okay, if it's police action versus, and I tell people, you know, there's been the cases again of Rochester of people impersonating police officers and pulling women over.
Yep.
And so the question is, people say, well, how do I know if it's really the police in my house? And I say, you know, I really wish I had the answer to that for you. I don't. But I'll tell you what I do know. You can start to look at them and see how professional they're acting. Some act, unfortunately, unprofessional. But I would also call 911 because that call is going to be recorded. And I'm going to say, I'm this person. I live at this address. And there's these officers here. And they're with the, the Southern New Hampshire SWAT team. They say they're with blah, blah, blah. There's an Officer Smith that appears to be in charge here. Do you guys have an Officer Smith?
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a television show on last night, and they had a gentleman who was what I call a fake U.S. Marshal going around with the Marshal clothes and the Marshal badge and telling everyone he's a U.S. Marshal, do this and do that. How would those people know that he wasn't a U.S. Marshal? And so I think that that's a good call because, number one, it shows that you're trying to reach out to law enforcement. You're calling 911, but it also shows you're afraid and you're asking for help, that you're saying, look at what's happening here. This is over the top. You know, these people are behaving in such a way because in this particular case in Bristol, the officers admitted that they held loaded firearms to the head of 15-year-old girls. Okay, they held one. And I'll tell you the thing that I would personally say if it were a law enforcement situation, I'd say, officer, you know, the basic rule of firearm safety is, look, I'm in cuffs, I'm cooperating, I'm not going anywhere. Please don't point that firearm at my head or my body.
Yeah.
You know, that if I were going to do something crazy like who knows what, you're going to have plenty of time to shoot me if it becomes necessary. You know, but having a loaded firearm pointed at me in, you know, a high-intensity situation like this, some people who take those type of jobs are adrenaline junkies, I would be very afraid. I would be very afraid of an accidental discharge. I would be afraid of a startle reflex. I would be afraid of a lot of things happening. And I think people say, you know, what force can I use when people break in my house? And the answer to that is force to repel the attacker. In other words, if you believe your life is in danger, I tell people that you can stop the threat. And unfortunately, people always say, well, you know, stopping the threat, why can't you just shoot them in the leg? Well, the answer is because if they have a gun in their hand, they can still shoot at you.
Right.
You know, and the other thing is, under stress, are you a good enough marksman to do a precision shot? And a lot of people, quite frankly, aren't. They do a center body mass hit, you know, to hit the center of the body, mm-hmm. which is the heart, the vital organs, to stop an attack. And unfortunately, that sometimes also sends the attacker to heaven or the lower place, depending on what you believe. But the bottom line is, you absolutely can shoot and defend yourself. But in New Hampshire, because our castle doctrine law isn't strong enough, there have been many, many cases of people in self-defense in their own homes that have been charged. So I tell people, if you're involved in that type of situation where you're forced to defend yourself, where you've determined it's not the police, it's bad guys breaking in, you know, you call 911, you do that, I still tell people at that point to get a lawyer right away. And if it were me, while you're waiting for the police to come, I would take every camera I ever owned and take 4 million pictures of everything. And the reason I say that is you don't know what's going to be important later. And if you know you've done everything correctly and you've told the truth and you've defended yourself, those pictures ultimately will prove that. But there's been many, many cases where I don't think adequate photographs were taken by law enforcement. And so if you take all those pictures, and I personally wouldn't tell them you had them, I'd hide them in a drawer or something, or email them until they get there so that you would make sure you have those pictures available to you and available to your family to show what happened. But the other thing I tell people is really think about this from a practical standard. If your bedroom's at the end of the hallway and your kids' bedrooms are maybe going down the hallway towards that, and you have an attacker coming down the hallway, you need to really have talked to the children in advance to say, stay in your room in this situation or do this in this situation, because what you don't want to happen is for you to be so focused on this attacker coming down the hallway and you defending yourself and having the kids, because of the noise, come out of the room.
Oh, yes.
You know, that would be a horrible, horrible situation. And people say, yes, you should have good marksmanship, but if you look at statistically speaking, police officers hit a very, very, very small percentage of the things they shoot at. Now, statistically speaking, civilians do not hit what I call innocent bystanders. They rarely, rarely, rarely do, where police do it quite frequently. So in theory, the chance of you hitting or you know, making a mistake in this thing is low, but I always tell people you don't want to risk, you know, in this type of horrible, tragic situation, shooting a family member. And so this is why this is a really important thing, is to have a plan with your family members. Just like you have a fire drill, you know, if you have children in the house, you always say, if there's a fire, we all go out these exits if we're in these rooms, and we all meet here at this time. That way we know everybody's out safely.
We try to remind people of that. I know most don't.
Yeah, people don't do it, but I actually think it's important. You know, in my place, the fire marshals, the fire people have laughed before. I have triple the amount of fire smoke detectors required by code.
Well, with that, Penny, I'm going to have to wrap this up here. So I want people to give you a call should they have any questions regarding their firearms rights and their own personal liberties. What's your phone number?
230-9999.
All right. Penny at pennydean.com. Thank you very much. And we'll chat with you again next. Well, no, I won't be here next Tuesday. I'm taking the day off. So
Brian gets a well-deserved day off.
I do. A whole week, too, no less.
Oh, yay. Good for you. And have fun. And find out more about the other people in Florida in those doors.
Yes, I will. All right.
Okay.
Take care.
Yep.